than that song right there. I do remember the wrong I done. He don't. I do. Ain't that amazing? He chooses to forget. That on purpose, he has to purposely, all-knowing God. This is what blows my mind. That an all-knowing God has to purpose to forget. You understand that? He's all-knowing. How can an all-knowing forget anything? But he chooses to forget one thing. And that's the sin he forgets. Ain't that amazing? Can't beat him. I'm telling you, he came. If you don't know the Lord, I encourage you to know him before you leave here today. And if you ain't where you ought to be, I encourage you to get right. Because ain't that no better. You got me loaded, ain't you, Jeremy? All right, we'll see how this thing works. Everybody turn. We'll be looking in Luke 15 for the main scripture this morning. We'll be looking at several, but I want you to listen. Now listen, I lean to this side over here on this screen. I'm not trying to ignore y'all over here. I'm going to try to balance everything out a little bit if I can, but it's just the way I look, all right? It's easier on my body to turn this way than it is that way, all right? So that's why I do that. So I'm not slighting y'all. And it ain't that y'all need more preaching than they do. They need more than y'all do, but it's just because you see who's over here, don't you? So anyway, that's all I can tell you. But I don't want nobody to think I'm slighting anybody, all right? So think about that. Now, we're using a PowerPoint. I don't know how long we use. We use PowerPoint for years, and many think it helps them, and some didn't, and I'm just trying to give us what God gave me, the best I can give you. If you can get what I try to give you from God, if you can remember, then that's half the battle. All right? If you're not getting it, then I'm failing. I want to make sure you get the information. Preaching is giving you information from God. All right? You're not saved by my preaching. You don't live right because of my preaching. It's the content that you believe the Word of God and you believe God. That's what helps you. And that's my job, is to show you Christ in the best way I can. So you pray for me, because if you've never done this, it's not easy preaching with a PowerPoint. It's not easy preaching anyway, but it ain't easy preaching with PowerPoint. So, all right, let's pray together. Can we? Father, I come. You've been wonderful. What singing we've enjoyed this morning. Your praise. And I got it better than I deserve. Thank you for saving me. Now, Lord, I need your help. Our people need help this morning. Those listening by live stream, those who listen later on the webpage, those that's in the sanctuary this morning, Lord, I pray as you speak to our heart that we will be mindful, that we will be doers of the word, not hearers only, that you might change our life. Help us to believe you and your word, I pray. Cleanse me from anything being hindrance. Give me power as you see fit. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name and amen. All right, let's look here and see what we got. Keeping our hearts fixed in 2026. Now, for the past, since 2010, I reckon, we give you a theme since 2010. And we've tried to take the first few weeks of the year to dwell on that theme and get that in your mind, that we can be what God wants us to be, and not just for a day or two, but for the coming year. And our scripture, of course, is Psalm 57:7. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. There it is again, Psalm 57:7. That's our theme verse this year. And I would wish that you'd mark it down in your Bible and read it every day for a while. I believe it'll help you. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Now, in context, in the context of that scripture, a heart fixed and established, or that is firm and sure, that's what that fixed means, firm and sure, is a heart that is assured of its salvation by Christ. Can I tell you that's the first and foremost thing you need is to make sure that you're saved this morning.
Amen.
There's nothing more important in your life than to know that you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and received Him as your Savior. For as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. And it's not those born of the flesh or born of your own will, but born of God. Remember that you must be born again. And that's the greatest thing. So having a heart fixed to start with is one that is firm and sure, that is assured of its salvation by Christ. And then one that is rooted and grounded in the love of God, all right, through Christ. Now you're going to notice there that everything has to do with Christ because we don't have nothing without Christ. But when we look here that we're not fixed, our heart is not fixed on the Lord if the love of God is not rooted and grounded in our heart. Now, the love of God is not just showing us His love, but it demonstrates His love in us, and then it outpours from us, and we show that in our conduct. All right, the love of God, it goes through us. Does everybody understand that? All right. And then one that is fixed, a heart that is fixed, firm and sure, that is firmly built on the foundation, which is Christ. Now, church is important. I believe that with all my heart. But your faith can't be founded upon the church. Your faith is going to have to be founded and rooted and grounded in Christ.
Amen.
Now, the church is important. The church is His body. The church is His bride. We understand that. But hear me. It's Christ that is the main thing. It's Jesus Christ that is the main thing. He's the foundation. The Bible plainly says that no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Or Jesus Christ is what it says, which is Jesus Christ. He is our foundation. He's everything. And then the church is built upon Jesus Christ being the cornerstone. And then the preaching, if you would, the gospel of the apostles and the prophets by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He's alive. He's a Savior. It's all built on Him. Are you all right with me so far? Now, we're going to tell you this every Sunday morning, every Sunday night for several weeks till it gets in your heart and your mind, all right? And then, not only firmly built on the foundation, which is Christ, but has its affections. My heart needs to have its affections set, all right, on Christ. All right? Now, my affections or my wants, my desires, the things I love needs to be focused on Christ. The Bible plainly says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if you love the world, the Bible tells us that the love of the Father is not in us. All right? That can't be where our affections are set. All right. Now we get saved. Wonderful. All right. We receive Christ. That's the greatest thing. And then our life needs to be focused on Christ as we live in this world. We have to live in this world for a purpose, to be a witness, to bring magnify the Lord. All right, we have that, but we have to be around rotten people. We have to see rotten things. I mean, that's life. All right, we're around people who were just like us before we got saved.
That's right.
Everybody you're around is either saved like you or they're not saved like you were.
That's right.
There is no difference.
Right.
Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
I don't care what color, don't care what country they're from. There is no difference.
That's right.
All right? Now, where the rub comes in on us, we don't mind people as long as they sin like we do. It's when they sin different is when we get upset. As long as we're sinning and we're all sinning the same way, we'll get along fine. But our affection is going to have to be set on Christ and unmoved. That fixed part means unmoved. A fixed reference, a fixed point. It ain't going to move. It don't vary. Okay? However, Jeremiah 17:9-10 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Wait a minute, I need to have a heart. My heart, O Lord, is fixed. But I got a bad heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Everybody look at me this morning. Whatever is true in your heart, you can't hide it from the Lord. You may try to hide it from us, and you may get by with us. You can slick us, because we believe anything. I mean, we believe in it. We believe that people we put in office are going to help us. You know, we believe anything. We believe doctors are going to heal us. We believe anything. Right? But you can't fool the Lord. You can fool us. Right? In fact, you can fool us most of the time. Right? But you can't ever fool the Lord. Be okay with that? Think about that. All right. So we see that a heart is bad, so therefore must be fixed to be fixed. That makes sense, don't it? We need to fix your heart so it'll be fixed. And for our heart to be fixed on God, it must be fixed where it's in error. So this year, that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at getting our heart fixed, getting it fixed, and keeping it fixed on the Lord. Are we okay? So that's your introduction. We're going to give you an introduction again tonight, next Sunday night. Okay? Now, let's look at some things. Here's one of the main problems. Here is why we get sideways with the Lord. You ever been sideways with the Lord? Anybody here ever been sideways with the Lord? You know what they did? You know, yeah, there's bad roads out there. You know, we got wintertime. We have bad roads. You ever get sideways in a road? Huh? Do you ever, I'll never forget, the day we buried my Uncle Kenny. It snowed. They all come in from out of state, and it was in March and April, somewhere in the spring. Anyway, they just 4 or 5 inches of snow. It snowed all at once, and roads was horrible. And I'd brought some ladies back to Mount Lookout that had brought food over to the house, and I was in a four wheel drive Blazer coming up from Red River Bridge up to top of hill. And the next thing I know, round and round I go down through the median, round and round I go back up on the road, and then just kept on going this way. Well, somebody I know passed me. It was Cheryl's Uncle Ted. He was going down. He said, I seen somebody in a white Blazer. He said, I don't know what they was doing, but they was sideways and around and around and around and around. You ever got sideways like that? Yeah, sure. You ever get sideways like that on the Lord?
Yeah.
Huh? When you was doing things you hadn't been just doing. And living like you hadn't been just living, got sideways and could have been disastrous.
Yeah.
Huh? But because of the mercy of the Lord, but because of the mercy of the Lord, it ain't like that, huh? See, here's why. Now I'm going to tell you why we get sideways. Proverbs 5:12-13 says, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despises reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. That's why we get sideways. We don't listen. Huh? We don't listen to instruction. We don't listen to warnings. And we don't listen to experience. Do you know that?
Yeah.
We don't listen. Think about that. And the scripture tells us that we don't listen. And you know what? We still don't listen. We don't listen. Huh? We don't listen. Are you thinking? We okay? Proverbs 14:14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. And a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Let me ask you, where are you right now in your life with Christ? Where are you at right now? I don't care where you was yesterday or last year or 20 years ago. I ask where you are right now this morning. Where are you at with your life in Christ right now? Where are you at? How are you living right now? How are things going with you in the Lord right now? Right now. Tell me. Are you growing in your Christian walk? Let me ask you that. We're already now on the second Sunday of January. Are you growing in the Lord already this year? Our theme, that my heart is fixed. Oh Lord, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Are you growing in the Lord? Are you closer than you was last Sunday? I'm talking to you. Answer me. Say yes or no. It's okay to say no. It's okay to say oh me. It's okay to say I'm wrong, just as good as it is to say amen. It'll help you if you be honest. Are you closer today than you were last Sunday? If not, why not? Why not? What's the problem? You don't listen. You don't listen to instruction. You don't listen to warnings, and you don't listen to experience. Huh? Is Jesus Christ real in your heart? Is he real? Is he real in your heart? Not in your mind. I mean, is he real in your heart today?
Yes.
Is he burning in your heart today? Is he real in your life? Think about that. Is he really real? See, I wonder sometimes if we only have him in our head and not our heart. Now, do you have joy or are you searching? Do you have joy or are you looking for joy? Huh? See, I didn't say happy. Are you happy? You know, I've had, y'all know I got health issues. I had a kidney stone here a few weeks ago. I had a kidney stone, wasn't no major one, just a little one, and didn't stop me too bad. And I wasn't happy. I wasn't happy, but I still had joy. Because joy had nothing to do with my kidney stone. My happiness did. You know? Anybody ever had a kidney stone, you understand that. All right? But my joy was full. Because my joy is Jesus. We okay? So do you have joy or are you searching? Let's see what we can find. Listen to me now. We're going to preach to you now. The condition of our heart determines the direction of our life. The condition of our heart determines the direction of our life. Now that's a true statement. Understand that this morning. Let's read now. Luke 15 is where we're going to be. Luke 15. And this is the familiar account of the parable of the prodigal son. What has been deemed that. The word prodigal is not even in the Bible. I don't really know where we got it. But it's the lost son. It's the lost sheep, lost coin, then lost son. But let's read it here together, okay? Luke chapter 15, we'll start at verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me, and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and kissed on his neck fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. I apologize for that one word left out there as I fixed that. But that's the account of what we have deemed the prodigal son. Now we know this story. We've heard it If you've been in church any time at all, you've heard it many, many times over about the son who left home. He left home and went again, dad, went again, mom. Mom's not mentioned there, but I'm sure it went again the whole family. All right. The father had, if you go back and read, the father had to divide the inheritance. It wasn't time to divide the inheritance, but he had to. And if you notice, he did it to the older son too. He got his part too, if you read the scripture there, because he divided his inheritance among them. So it shows he done it both, okay? Because he couldn't give to the younger one unless he gave to the older one first. That's just the way things was. So it was all out of time, all out of place. See, one person interrupted the whole thing that was supposed to work out. Sometimes when we do our own thing, we don't just mess ourselves up. We mess up everybody. We'll mess up everybody around us, everybody in the home, everybody in the church. When we want to go our own way, we can throw everything out of kilter. Does everybody understand that? And that's what this young boy did. Well, he left. And when he left, then he started wasting. It wasn't long after he got his inheritance. Then he went, said, I'm going to leave. And he left. We know the account. He went into a far country. There he wasted his life. He went with the Bible says with riotous living. Now what all he's involved in, I can't tell you. The Bible don't say. But we would think about all the vices and all the things that would be in the world that he went and wasted himself. And then he ended up running out of money. And when you run out of money, you run out of friends. All right, when you're in the world, listen to me. When you're in the world and you run out of money, you run out of friends. When you run out of how you can help somebody when you're in the world and they leave you sitting because there ain't no true friend in the world, I don't care what they tell you, if you're that naive, then you're just going to fall hard. But there ain't no true friends in the world, all right, because they in a bad shape. We still okay, so we know the count. Everybody, I'm just going to tell you, we know what we read. Well, he ended up getting in a bad way. He ended up joining himself to people he had no business being joined with. He ended up feeding swine, which he was a Jew, and we know they don't fool with pigs. And then not only was he feeding swine, which was a dirty job, but he was fighting the pigs over the pods. They fed them seed pods. They didn't have feed at Tractor Supply or Southern States. They fed them seed pods and slop and all this, and he's out there eating them. And he finding himself fighting hogs over seed pod. That's pretty miserable life. And he come to himself and said, man, why am I like this? Because down at Dad's house, even the servants are eating better than I'm eating. And here I am, I stink. I don't have the right kind of food. I left everything. I shouldn't have left all this. Well, I'm going to have to go back to Dad and tell him I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. I'm sorry. Won't you make me as a hired servant? I don't want to get back in there and bring any more shame. Just put me over in the barn in a bunkhouse with other guys. And ain't you glad the Lord is so forgiving? Because that's who an example is. The father said, no, I'm gonna put a robe on you so we're not going to look at your past. And I'm going to put a ring on your finger so we'll know you belong to me. And I'm going to put shoes on your feet, all right, where you're not going to have to walk in a slop no more. You got shoes. And I'm going to kill a fatty calf and we're going to have a big time because you was lost and now you're found. And now we're all back home together. And even though everybody may not like it, that's all right. We're going to enjoy it. That's your account of the prodigal. All right. Ain't it a wonderful thing? There's three people there that you'll be one of. You'll either be the boy that leaves home and goes to far country, or you'll be the unforgiving brother at the house, or you'll be the forgiving father at the house. You'll be one of the three. All right. Everybody here's one of the three. Okay. And you'll either be happy when people get right, or you'll be miserable because you ain't right either. But the point is, that's the account of this prodigal. See, the condition of our heart determines the direction of our life. Is everybody with me? The condition of your heart determines the direction in your life. See, this boy didn't have a bad thing at home or he wouldn't have wanted to go back. Things wasn't bad at home. truthfully, or he wouldn't have wanted to go back and say, I wished I was back.
Right.
It was his heart that the issues arose. Is everybody following me? See, when you decide to go other places in the world instead of living for the Lord, it ain't because of the Lord, it ain't because of other people, it's because the desires of your heart has changed. If you're not living for the Lord today, it's because the desires of your heart has changed. If there was a time somewhere in your life that you was closer than you are this morning as a Christian, and there was a time that you was a lot closer, felt a lot more spiritual, enjoyed the Lord a lot more, and it's not like anything else, because the desires of your heart has changed. Because God has not changed, His Word has not changed.
That's right.
So it must be the desires of your heart that's changed. Okay? And if you're not saved, then you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. Because you're dead in trespasses and sin, and you need saved. We okay? The path we choose is from the desires of our heart. Everybody understand that? The path we choose is from the desires of our heart. What path do you want? What path do you want? See, there is a way, Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So what path are you on? Are you going your way or the Lord's way? Who do you consult? Huh? Are you just thinking, well, this is what will be best, or do you consult, do you ask the Lord? Do you let the Lord direct? I mean, does the Bible not say, Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart? Number one, lean not unto thy understanding. Number two, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. Number three, trust the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thy understanding. All the way, and He shall direct thy path. He won't direct your path if you don't trust in the Lord with all your heart. He won't direct your path if you're leaning to your own understanding. He won't direct your path. Trust the Lord with all the heart. And if you're not acknowledging Him. I got to say it all together. I give it. Yeah, is that not true? Then it says He'll direct your path.
Yeah.
Right? So what path are you on? What path have you chosen? My heart is fixed, oh Lord, my heart is fixed. Have you fixed your heart upon the Lord? Have you chosen that way? See, He don't make you get saved. But when He comes by, He says, follow me.
Right.
He didn't say, hey, receive me and go your own way. He never says that.
No,
He don't. He says, come follow me. Do you follow the Lord? How do you follow the Lord? Do you follow the Lord daily, weekly, monthly, yearly?
Mm.
We ought to follow the Lord every day, oughtn't we?
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Well, my job won't let me be a Christian. Then quit your job.
Hello.
If your job won't allow you to be a Christian, then you don't need the job as a Christian. You know, if your job was a hitman and you got saved, you probably ought to quit killing people.
Yeah.
Huh? Isn't that not right?
Yeah.
Now, just apply that simplicity. Huh? I probably told you this, I'll tell you again. Years ago, Judy will probably know what I'm talking about. Mooney, you know. They was a... I'm pretty sure it was Bobby Cottle's dad, Mose Cottle. They got saved and they was getting baptized down there in the creek. Papa was baptizing them. And Mose come to the baptizing. Mose run the liquor store in Fayetteville. And Mose come to baptize and Papa preached on the creek there. And Mose got saved on the creek. Well, Papa just baptized him when he baptized Bob and the rest of them. Well, somebody had something to say about it. Said, well, you don't know who that guy is. You know, always somebody. And Papa says, yeah, I know who he is. Said, well, you know what he does for a living? Said, he runs a liquor store. And Papa said, well, I used to run the bottle. Said, if he got saved, he'll come out of the liquor store.
That's right.
Now listen to me. So, few Sundays later, he come in, and Papa went and seen him. Papa said, Mo said, you need to get you a different job. He said, Bill, he said, I'm trying to get a job. He said, I can't find nothing. He said, I got to make a living. He said, I'm miserable. He said, I just got to make a living. Papa said, well, he said, what's going to happen, Mose? He said, somewhere, he said, you're going to die. He said, now I'm not telling you you're not saved because you're still working in the liquor store. He said, I'm just telling you you need to change because when you die, the devil's going to come to your kids and say, see, wasn't nothing in that what your daddy done.
That's right.
Okay. So the next Sunday, Papa was standing there in the door and Mose come into church. Mose Cottle come into church. He said, hey, Bill, got me a new job. You know why? He had to get out because, now, that was to go with what I told you a while ago.
Yeah,
are we still okay?
Yeah.
Now, let's look. What path are you choosing? Sometimes we choose our way instead of God's way. If you want to live for God, look at me this morning. If you want to live for the Lord will help you live for Him.
Yes.
Will you be perfect? No.
Right.
Will you make mistakes? Just as long as you're breathing. As long as you're breathing, you'll make them.
Yeah.
Now, we ought to be trying to make less.
Yeah.
All right? But if you think you're not going to make any, then can I just say this kindly? You're dumb as a rock. Because you're going to make mistakes. We are. But the Bible teaches us, you know, I would, little children, that you sin not. But if you do, you have it with the Father. I would that you don't do it. But if you do, you're going to have it with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. All right? He would that we don't make them. All right? Well, that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
We would that our children never make a mistake. But sometimes our children mess up, don't they? Are we still okay? The decisions on the path is from the desires of the heart. Not just the direction of the path, but the decisions on the path is from the desires of our heart. See, but the heart is deceitful above all things, and that's for the wicked. Who can know it? You can't rely on your heart. You got to rely on Christ. Christ got to change your heart. Yeah, but I feel. Quit it. Yeah, but I think. Don't. Trust. Trust. Huh? Yeah, but I just... Stop it.
Right.
You're not listening. Are you listening to me this morning?
Yeah.
Now, the boy went to the far country. Everybody understand that? Where is the far country? It's wherever you go outside the will of God. That's the far country.
Yeah.
Might be sitting right there in the church pew. It don't have to be out there. It starts. Can I go ahead and tell you? It starts down at the house.
Yes. Yes, sir.
And then you come to the church house and it's evident. And if for long, you'll be out there. No one ever walks away from the Lord until they do in their heart. No one ever walks away from the church until they first do in their heart. No one, you don't go from praising the Lord full, wide open to drunk.
Right.
Don't happen. There's a far country out there. Are you listening to me this morning? Now, the younger son here in Luke 15 went to the far country. And listen to me now. Listen to me. There are a lot of people that are in a far country. There's a lot of people in a far country in Mountain State Baptist Church this morning on the 11th of January AM service. And there's some headed that way. You'll decide today. You'll decide today whether or not you go. Reason I know, because you're starting. You're listening to other things.
Right.
Our heart problem leads to departure. All right? Now, we're talking about this boy left home. Everybody with me? We're talking about a heart problem. He left what was right. He left what was good. He left what was safe. Hear me. The way of the Lord is right. The way of the Lord is good. The way of the Lord is safe. Are you listening to me? It's safe. Proverbs again, 5, 12 and 13. And I say, how have I hated instruction? And my heart despiseth reproof. I wonder if anybody can say, that's me. Anybody got enough backbone to say, that's me? That's me. I don't know about y'all, but that's the preacher. And I've not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. Our heart problem leads to deception. It don't just lead to departure. It leads to deception. See, we won't listen to what we're taught, and we'll find ourselves leaving what is good, what is right, what is. I hate to use the word comfortable, but can I tell you, it's comfortable in the will of God.
Yeah.
If you're uncomfortable serving God, then you're not in the will of God. I've heard people say, oh, you need to serve to God even if it's uncomfortable. Why would it be uncomfortable?
Right. That's good, preacher. Yeah.
Why would being in the will of God be being obedient be uncomfortable?
Yeah. Right.
What it does is it ought to make everybody else uncomfortable. Right. That's not in the will of God.
Yeah.
But it ought to make you comfortable.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Was Jesus in the will of his Father? Yes or no?
Yes.
When the storm was coming, what was he doing? When the storm came in the boat, what was he doing? Does anybody remember? He was asleep in the boat. You know why? He was comfortable in the will of his Father. Can I tell you, your sleep will be better, things will be better, you'll rest in the peace of an almighty God when you're in the will of God. Now, I don't necessarily mean you'll sleep all night, but there'll be rest in the arms of God. But our heart problem then leads not only to departure. We'll find ourselves, listen to me. I wish I could go back to the next slide and get your mind off of this. And flip me back if you can, Jeremy. I want to stay on this departure a minute. Why do you want to leave? All right, you got people leave church. Why do people quit church? Why do people quit church? Because they don't want to hear the instruction.
That's it.
They don't want to hear the reproof.
That's right.
That's why people quit.
Right.
Now, people move away because they get deceived. But they quit. They quit because their heart's bad.
Yes.
Why would you quit church? Why would you quit a place? Dennis just told you, we're a crummy bunch. We're a crummy bunch. And Dennis was just bragged us up and down the other, one side and down the other a while ago. He praised us because of how good we are. You know, we try our best to be good, but we fail. Some fall through the cracks. We don't want nobody to ever quit. We don't want nobody to fall through the cracks, but sometimes they do. But why would you want to leave where you know there's help? Why would you walk away from a Lord that is faithful, that is forgiving and loving and caring and supplies every need? Why would you walk away from the Lord? Why would you walk away from the church? Why would you walk away from a family?
Amen.
Why? All right. Our heart problem leads to deception. We get deceived. Satan always lies to us. He points to things we don't have to get us to want those things. We become deceived. That boy that was home, he's had to been slick about something that wasn't there. Are you listening to me? He didn't just wake up one morning and say, well, I don't want this no more.
Right. That's right.
I don't know where I'm going. He had something that he wanted.
That's right.
Are you listening to me? Colossians 2:8 says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Be careful. There's a warning. We need to listen. We need to listen to our instruction, our teachers, our warnings. Listen to me. No one goes astray without an outside influence. No one.
You're exactly right.
No one goes astray without an outside influence. It'll be a person, a friend, family, or foe. Someone will cause you to go astray. You don't just do it. All right? You'll either read a book or a magazine. If you want to go back and learn some history, I'll give you a quick history lesson on Jehovah's Witnesses in Mount Lookout. One of the former pastors of the Mount Pleasant Baptist Church in Mount Lookout was working down at the post office, or anyway, he was there at the post office. He received a magazine or one of the first watchtowers that they would have sent out. I don't know, it wouldn't have been a watchtower named then because they were new lights back then. Right. And he got it and he read that magazine and changed that little brochure and changed his doctrine and brought it in and split the Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. And that's why there's Jehovah's Witnesses in this area. And it was the first one in West Virginia that came out of Pennsylvania in 1874. In Mount Lookout, West Virginia, from a previous Baptist pastor. Now what poisoned him? What poisoned him? It was a friend, family, foe, a book or a magazine. Even a preacher causes people to go sideways on the Lord. I know a family right now, a loving family that I love dearly. All right? Faithful to church. His parents was faithful to church. He was a officer in the church. The preacher literally ran off with the piano player. He didn't go back. He didn't go back and he lived. And people say, well, you shouldn't do this. Maybe he wasn't saved. I don't know all that. All I can tell you. But he didn't go back. 50 years, he died out of church. Because somebody poisoned him.
Yeah.
Who's poisoning you? Who's causing you to think about quitting? Who's causing you to think about a wrong way? Who's causing you? What's causing you to want a different path? The Lord didn't do it.
No.
The Bible didn't do it. But I guarantee you that a friend, family, or foe, book, magazine, preacher, of course the devil, poison you. That's why I try to warn you about who you listen to on podcasts and preaching and everything. Had a man send me a thing, said, listen, I want you to listen to this preacher. I never had heard of him until just last week. And it was a great message. And I looked to who it was and I sent it back. I said, he's a Calvinist. Stay away.
Yeah.
I knew him. This person didn't know him, but he wanted me. He thought it was wonderful. It was going to be coconut cream pie for him. No, it wasn't. Poison.
Yep. Yes.
You hearing me? I'm trying to get us to think this morning. Our problem leads to dissatisfaction, not only departure and not only deception. See, being deceived is when you believe an untruth. You're never deceived in believing the truth. Y'all know that, don't you? You're never deceived into believing the truth. You're deceived in believing an untruth. Alright? And then it leads to dissatisfaction. See, the boy left. He was in a far country before he left the house. And he become dissatisfied at things at home. Be careful when you get dissatisfied with things at church. Be careful.
Yep.
Well, I don't think we'll do. Well, maybe not. I should have done it the way we did it. Maybe we did it wrong.
Yep.
Maybe we did make a wrong decision. Okay.
Amen.
We didn't do it on purpose.
Right.
We didn't have a meeting and said, "Listen, we're going to make a bunch of wrong decisions and want everybody to vote on it." So we don't do that. Sometimes we do things wrong. All right, but when we become dissatisfied with God's house, then we go looking for other places, and then we'll be there for a while, and we'll decide, well, this ain't what I thought. Then we're going down the road and find, well, this ain't what I thought. Well, I'll just stay at home because we're all alive. We still okay? Dissatisfaction. Psalm 16 says this, verse 11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Well, if I'm in the right path, there's going to be joy and pleasures. If I'm dissatisfied, I must be on the wrong path. Are you hearing me? If I'm dissatisfied, I must be on the wrong path. 1 Peter 1:8 says, "Whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." It's my faith in Christ that keeps me going.
Yes.
I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. On my knees on the altar, when to the Lord I cried. Ain't that what you say? Huh? See, if you're not satisfied, then you must be on the wrong path. Are you satisfied? Talk to me. Are you satisfied? If you ain't satisfied, don't growl at me over it. If you ain't satisfied, repent. Huh? It ain't my fault. See, the answer is the heart must change. Does any of this make sense to y'all this morning? Psalms 139, 23 and 24. Cheryl, go to piano. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Jeremiah 10, 23 and 24. "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." Can I read that again?
Yeah.
Let me read that. "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing." See, my heart is fixed, O Lord, my heart is fixed. I will sing praises unto thee. How is your heart this morning? How are things? Are you enjoying this thing? Are you walking in the will of God? Are you enjoying this life in Christ? Are you growing in Christ? If you're not growing in Christ, whose fault is it? We give you Bible on Sunday morning, Bible on Sunday night, Sunday school, Bible study on Wednesday. We encourage you to read your Bible every day, pray every day. If you're not growing, whose fault is it? Is it our fault? We major on the Bible. We major on you coming, trying to help you. We've offered new convert classes to the new converts. We offer special things. We have revivals in the spring, revivals in the fall, youth camp in the summer. We do everything we can to try to get you to see Christ. But if you're not growing, where's the fault lie? because of the desires of our heart. You're not going to grow properly by staying in the world. You're not going to grow properly by living for the enemy instead of living for Christ. Don't misunderstand. Living for Christ don't mean you got to go to the mission field. It don't mean you got to be a preacher or a teacher. It don't mean that you got to pray every night, every day. That ain't what it means. Living for Christ is that your life is Christ. That you're obedient and He uses you the way He wants to. If He wants to send you to Kenny with Boyd, good. But if He wants you to just stay right here in the church pew and don't say a word, just be faithful, then just stay here in the church and be faithful. Everybody won't go the same and everybody won't do the same. But all of us can have our heart fixed on the Lord. That it stayed upon the Lord, on the foundation of the Lord. And be happy in the Lord. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Keeping your heart fixed in 2026. You tell me this morning, how is things in your heart? Has the desires of your heart caused you to depart? Have the desires of your heart caused you to be deceived? Has the desires of your heart caused you to be dissatisfied? Think about it. Father, speaking to us, God, we need your help. We can't do this by ourselves. Lord, we got to have you. And I pray, oh God, that you might move us close to you. We're going to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.